So I want to remind you of a saying that I have because it's so applicable to your walk with God. And here's, you may have heard this before, I think you have, how you think is how you feel is how you do. Say that with me. How you think is how you feel is how you do. It's important that you think right, because you think right, you'll feel right. You think wrong, you're going to feel wrong. You feel wrong, you're going to do wrong. Why? Because we're led by our feelings most of the time. How we think is how we feel is how we do. And that's why we have to have our minds washed by the Word of God. So we think right. We think right, we'll feel right. Some people are depressed in certain times, but they're thinking wrong. How you think is how you feel is how you do. Now, I have an interesting message for today, so I really want you to listen. This is a second part to what I talked about last week. I want you, if you have a scar anywhere on your body, would you stand? If you have a scar anywhere on your body, look around. Look around. I think everybody's standing. Thank you. Be seated. So we all have a scar, one form or another. We all have a scar from the past. And most of us can look at our scars and remember something that caused a lot of discomfort or even a lot of pain. Amen? That's for sure. We have surgical scars. We have scars from playing sports. Some of us have scars from being in the military. Some of us have scars from doing something stupid. That's probably most of our scars. And some of us have scars from accidents of our youth. Most of our scars are on the outside of our body. But some scars you can't see because they're actually internal. And those internal scars most likely are caused by someone's words. And the crazy thing is, many times we don't realize there is a scar until years go by. But here's my point before I pray. We all have scars, and they remind us of our past. I'll say that again. We all have scars, and they remind us of our past. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Shabbat where I get to speak to my friends. And Lord, I pray for them and I pray for myself that this message takes root in time of need. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within. In Yeshua's name, we all said, amen. Okay, in the early 1900s, there was a guy named Sir Alfred Beatty. He discovered a copy of the oldest manuscript written by the Apostle Paul, and it's known as Papyrus number 46. And in this ancient manuscript, we have the end of the Apostle Paul's letter to the believers in Galatia. Now, in Galatia, it's not up, is it? Hold on. Yeah, there we go. Stay with me. In Galatians 6:17, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. This is what they found. From now on, let no person trouble me by making it necessary for me to vindicate my apostolic authority and divine truth of my gospel. For I bear on my body the brand or the marks or the brand of the Lord Jesus, the wounds, scars, and other outward evidence of persecutions. They testify to his ownership of me. So Paul is kind of saying something like this. My body, my life, my scars, they give proof of the fact that I'm a genuine servant of Jesus Christ. I earn my credentials, so don't you dare challenge my position and service for the Lord. That's actually what he's saying. Now, with that in mind, let's turn the boat a little bit. So stay with me. Yeshua warned us that being his disciple would not win us a popularity contest among those outside the kingdom of God. You do realize that. Don't expect to win the popularity contest. In John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Again in Matthew 5:22, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands to the end will be saved. In other words, don't be surprised if you're hated just because you're a disciple of Messiah. The good news is, if you hang in there till the end, benefits await you when you breathe your last breath. That's when the main benefits hit you. Paul wrote, I have on my body the marks of Yeshua. I have the scars of faithfulness to the Lord and Savior. You might be thinking, Paul, what scars are you talking about? And when did you get them? I'm telling you, I'm going to read something here, and you're going to say, man, did that guy go through it? I don't think I could go through it. I'm telling you, I don't think I could go through what he went through, but listen to everything he went through. Now, this is out of a Message Bible. Paul's speaking, and he says, it's crazy to talk this way, but I started, and I'm going to finish. I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count. And at death's door, time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. Beaten by Roman rods 3 times. Pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the ocean sea for a night and a day. In traveling a year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressure and anxieties of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of this rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. If I have to brag about myself, I'm going to brag about the humiliations that make me like Yeshua. The eternal and blessed God and Father of our Master Yeshua knows I'm not lying. Remember the time I was in Damascus and the governor, the king of Arteus, posted guards in the city gates to arrest me? I crawled through the window in the wall, was let down in a basket, and had to run for my life. Question, do you think Paul might have had external and internal wounds that had to heal and became scars? I mean, that guy probably looked like a jigsaw puzzle. Paul was telling the believers of Galatia that even though he had many scars, even though he had the marks of Messiah, he stayed faithful. All he went through, he stayed faithful. Now today, our wounds might come from a different source than Paul's, but our wounds still leave a scar. Some of us have received scars from staying faithful in times of persecution from those outside the body of Messiah. Some of us have received scars from staying faithful in times of persecution from those within the body of Messiah. Now, those really hurt. Some of us are in the process of developing a scar. We're still bleeding from something that happened. Some of us have scars from businesses who ripped us off. Some of us have scars from how your parents treated you. Some of us have scars from the words and actions of your children. Some of us have scars from your friends misunderstanding you. And some of us have scars from just flat out mean people. And et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. You know, when I was in, I remember, well, when I was in Bible school, I remember being in awe of those older believers who I knew had scars because of serving Jesus. Yet, they continue to stay faithful. And I see them as examples, not only Apostle Paul's example, but people I've known. I've seen them as examples, and I hope to become an example to others down the road. I remember a guy by the name of Tom and his wife, Miriam Edmondson. Back then, they were in their early 60s, when their son died in a car accident. And within 2 years, their daughter crashed in a plane in the mountains of Alaska. And it took over 2 years for them to find her. My wife and I, we watched that couple as they were in agony. And there's very little you can do to say to comfort someone like that. You think Tom and Miriam had wounds that needed to heal and would leave a scar? Certainly. But let me tell you, they were faithful to the very end. I remember Dick Strutz, who taught me much of my Bible. He passed away last year. When I was in my first year of Bible school, I remember his house burned down to the ground, and he wasn't able to save anything but his dog. Picture this. His house is burning to the ground, and his wife, Beverly, was standing next to him. They were watching the fire department, and they couldn't do nothing to save his house. It was already gone. The testimony is this. Dick looked at one of the firemen and said, "You know what? That is a nice fire." You think Dick and Beverly had a wound that needed to heal and would leave a scar? Certainly. But Dick and Beverly, they finished to the end. They finished successfully to the end. I used to wonder, how could people like the Edmondsons and Strutzes endure like they did and continue to stay faithful to the Messiah? Because you would think, God, why couldn't you stop that fire? Why'd that plane go down? Why this? And people have a tendency to blame God for all the miserable things that happen in life. You know what I'm talking about. This is how we seem to act. So I wondered, how could people like them endure like they did and still continue to have faith in Messiah? Well, I found the answer. It's very simple, but it is the answer. And the answer is grace, G-R-A-C-E. What is grace? Grace is God giving you something you don't deserve. He gives us grace in our time of need. What God told Apostle Paul in his time of need is applicable to us. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You know, I claim the scripture a lot before I preach. I say, "God, I'm not feeling so hot. I'm feeling kind of weak about this whole thing. God, help me." Knowing that his grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, when you're hurting from a wound, look to Yeshua to experience his grace, and you'll experience his supernatural power so a scar can quickly form. Think about this. It takes time for a scar to develop, for a scar tissue to develop. Doesn't happen overnight. Takes time. Be patient. Scar tissue doesn't form during the event, only after. Before the scar, usually an ugly scab forms. Just like it's not wise to constantly rub a scab, it's not wise to bring up the past. You need to try to let it go as best you can. The scar tissue that develops from the wound is usually a real strong tissue. in John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. That's trouble that might leave a scar. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. Question. You think Yeshua might personally know something about scars? Oh, yeah. Scars on his back, scars on his side, scars on his hands. Think about this. Your scars for being a disciple are your credentials. They are your testimony. They're part of your reputation. This is important to realize this. So I want to speak to the parents. Think of what it teaches your impressionable children when you're part of a congregational family and then you leave because you're wounded by someone in the congregation. Think about that, what it does to the family. Think of what it teaches your children and even friends when you know, when they know you're a disciple of Messiah, but after a wound, they see you backslide and serving the devil. Think of the testimony you give them. One day you're serving God, next day they see you serving the devil. When you suffer a wound for being a believer, know that God's grace is sufficient for you to continue to walk with Him. You continue to walk. Yes, you've got a wound. Yes, you're bleeding. Yes, it's going to scab over. Yes, it will form a scar. God's grace is sufficient for you. I want to conclude with a story that I found on the internet. Is this a true story? I don't know, but I think it is a true story. It goes like this. Sharon was a high school senior, and her senior class was going on their senior trip. Sharon's mother volunteered to go along as a chaperone. The high school class was going on a boat trip on Lake Michigan. Sharon's mother was badly scarred on her face and considered ugly because of those scars. On the boat, Sharon's mother walked by the girls of which Sharon was a part. One of the girls said, "Who is that ugly scar-faced woman?" Sharon said, "I don't know." Many times Sharon asked her mother why her face was so scarred, but her mother had always told her that it happened a long time ago when Sharon was just a little girl. After their trip was over, Sharon's mother called Sharon into the living room and said that she wanted to talk to her about something. She told Sharon that she had heard her deny that she knew her and realized that she was ashamed of Sharon's mother, who was scarred. So Sharon's mother shared this story with Sharon. Here's what she said. "Sharon, when you were a very small baby, still in the cradle, there was a fire in the apartment we were living in. Your father had deserted us, and I was left to raise you by myself. In the apartment we were living in, there was a fire, and the flames were roaring. I was in the bathroom when I first saw the flames and smoke engulfing the room you were in. I took a wet towel and ran into the room and wrapped you in a wet towel and carried you to safety. My clothes caught on fire and my hair was in flames, but I kept going until I got you safely out of the burning building. I was unconscious for several days, and I spent a number of weeks in the intensive care burn center. I finally got to go home, but things were never the same. My scars are from the love I had for you. I know you're ashamed of me, but the scars that you are ashamed of are the very scars that saved your life." Sharon began to cry, and the tears began to run down her face. Sharon looked at her mother and said, "I'm sorry I was ashamed of you. I'll never be ashamed of you again." So here's the bottom line to what I want to talk about. When you're wounded, Not if you are wounded, because I'm sure you'll experience even more wounds than you already experienced, both internal or maybe external. Like Paul and the many disciples who died in faith, you need to look on your scars as a testimony to your love of Messiah. And if you don't do that, what happens is you probably will backslide. You give up. We all hang in there together. Amen? Things happen. You hang in there. Things happen that give scars internally and externally. Let God's grace be sufficient for your lives. Then be healed in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. We sang this last week. We're going to sing it again. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a great confession. I love that old song. But this time we'll sing the second verse with it. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. No turning back. No turning back. There's no turning back. You don't want to turn back. God's grace is sufficient for who? For you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Let's pray. Yavarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisei Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, peace in your heart. As you acquire wounds and they turn into scars and your testimony grows in Yeshua's precious name. We all said, amen. God bless you. I love you a lot. If you have a prayer need, we have our elders will be standing here to pray for you. Also, we have coffee down the hall. Amen.